This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go, hour one, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome in on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a great day. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. There's Broadus, former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive, a rare neutral white button up here today. No LSU, no Texas being represented by the Broadus family.
Yeah.
Ross Labinski's in the Pimp Cup over there, Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. Keeping the Gators down best he can. Lucius Alexander, 2-week vacay. Send that man some love on social. Wolchuk and Schiafalo reunited, and it feels so good. And you have Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us online, Twitch, YouTube. Okay, a big day here. Tim McMahon joining us coming up at 4 o'clock, talking Mavs in his new book about Luka, The Wonder Boy. And, you know, I thank you for booking him. I love having Tim McMahon on the show. He's just a wealth of Mavs information.
Let's see if we make him mad.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying? Just kind of like throw something at him, kind of call him out like your book's not going to do any well. Or, you know, just kind of see if we can kind of draw him off sides a little bit.
I think it's the Nico mouthpiece stuff that is.
Oh, is that what gets him?
That circulates. I don't know how much it gets him. I'm curious to know.
Yeah,
how much it bothers him. If he leans into it, does he just mute all of his mentions? Because I don't think he's necessarily a fan favorite, but I love that in a guy who covers a team. He's not here to make friends.
No. Yeah. And it's amazing. You know, he was one of the guys that over the last couple of years was pointing out that behind the scenes, it's not kumbaya.
No.
This is not good.
And Tim, I think Tim does really well.
Fans
this,
hated him for that.
Yeah.
You know, but in the end, I think it kind of played out in a way that vindicated him. Yeah. Because it was proven things were not going great behind the scenes.
Nope.
But be really interesting to know from him, you know, what he thinks this team is capable now and what this team is capable of next year. Fairly impressive dub last night. You know, 120-101 over the Nets. They did what I thought they would. They continued scoring. They held the Nets to 101. And, you know, Anthony Davis didn't play a ton. I guess he was restricted to 28 minutes. He ended up playing 26, but very efficient, 6 of 9 for the floor and had 12 points, some rebounds, some assists and everything, and a block shot. And he said afterwards there was no doubt he was coming back. Said seeing the guys after the game so exhausted, knowing they were playing with 7 or 8 dudes, just inspired him to make it back. And that was his plan all along. So, I mean, what are they capable of? I did think that when they played that 3 quarters against the Rockets a month and a half ago or however long ago that was, it looked like they might be the best defensive team in the NBA. And that's with full understanding of what they're doing up there in OKC. Thunder, a hell of a defensive team. But the Mavs could, I think, be just as good, but have more length, you know, and better size.
No doubt. If you're able to get your bigs back with Lively and Gafford and Anthony Davis and PJ, I mean, Najee Marshall, I mean, tons of length. Yeah. If you had Kyrie, I'd be all bought in on this. The West is there for the taking. I think you absolutely could make a case they'd be the best team in the conference. But without Kyrie, I don't, like Spencer Dinwiddie would get fatigued eventually. I just don't think you're going to have enough playmaking from your backcourt. And unless Anthony Davis wants to just be Superman and all of a sudden he's Nikola Jokic and he's putting up 10 to 15 assists for you as well to help others get involved, I just don't see you really getting past the second round.
Yeah.
But it just depends on the matchups, really.
Yeah, I think I agree. They could win a first round matchup depending on who it's against. I don't know if they'd be favored. We'll have to see how these final 10 or 11 games go. What can Brandon Williams give them with playmaking? What can Najee Marshall do? You don't want to be Spencer Dinwiddie dependent, but he's playing great.
He is.
He has been very consistent here, giving you games of at least 10 points, I think, for 9 or 10 games in a row. He was great last night, and so was Najee Marshall. And I think that's a playmaker right there. He had 22 points. I mean, he can play point guard. He's played center, you know. But yeah. Lots of players were good last night. You had 7 dudes in double figures. So they'll stay in New York and play the Knicks tonight.
I will say, you mentioned Kai Jones in crosstalk, Walchuk. Kai Jones.
He was looking really good, and he's big.
He is big.
He's a big dude.
And they're leaning all the way in because they're playing Anthony Davis next to guys like him. Dwight Powell's at the five, or Jones at the five, Anthony Davis at the four.
Yeah, that's what they want.
Just that paint presence is pretty legit.
Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine if you have one of the best young big men in the NBA and one of the best veteran centers in the NBA joining that instead? You know,
exactly.
This could really be difficult to get shots in the paint. You know, to make entry passes. You know, I don't know. Like, they're going to get in some matchups against really good defensive teams with good bigs, and at that point, you know, they're probably going to get eliminated. But I could see them beating Houston. I could see them beating Memphis. I could see them beating Denver. It'll be interesting. Los Angeles definitely looking vulnerable right now, as LeBron back for 2 games in a row has not stopped the bleeding in Los Angeles. Okay, Evan Carter did not make the opening day roster. How much of a bummer is this, guys? You know, I think part
kind of
our
saw
expectations.
It coming, though, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yeah, you know, I mean, through spring training. But
yeah, you're not asking us. Are we surprised? You're asking us.
But it is a bummer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
I
was listening. I heard you guys yesterday talking about it, and it kind of seemed like that was going to happen. But certainly, we would have loved to have seen Evan Carter look good against lefties in spring training, come out, claim center field, and now everything would have fallen into place. We were talking about, like, maybe Leody's a trade chip for you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if the closer situation isn't something that resolves itself, now you can go out and make a move. Maybe down the line that still happens and Evan Carter figures it out at AAA Round Rock. But it is disappointing. I thought maybe he would have had a better spring.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping he could be a guy that could be part of a great lineup. And now he's not. Does it change expectations? I think at least fractionally it does. You can maybe still get some good production out of Pilar and Tavares in center field. But we were hoping he could be a young star that could help drive this lineup forward. You know, and right now he's not even a big leaguer. So
no.
Probably makes sense that I like what you said in crosstalk there, though, Zach, just about he's following the script. Use the summer in the minor leagues to get your timing down. Start dominating. Build your confidence. And you know, before too long, they're going to need him, and he'll get his chance to prove he can still get it done.
Do you think his really the biggest problem of his is the confidence?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of. I think it's all mental with him. And he talks like, "Hey, he's going to get this figured out," and I hope that he does.
Sure,
but I do think it probably is wearing on him a little bit. I think human nature. I would assume that's probably safe to say.
Like, mentally tough guy?
It is eating on him. I thought he was a mentally tough guy, but maybe now it's like this thing goes on year over year over year, and it's like, damn, it's still the same question. Can I hit lefties?
Sure.
And the answer's been no. Can I hit lefties? Like, do you start to, does the self-doubt start to happen?
Is that something he just doesn't have the ability to do it?
It might be. That might be the case.
Well, we also have to remember how young he is
sure.
and how little reps he's really had at a professional level.
Sure.
So to me, I think all of it with
I think the expectations are super high for him, though, after what we saw in the World Series.
Agreed,
right?
Yes. Those were probably a bit unfairly high. I think it's the injuries, to me, that are more concerning about the big picture. I think everything he's going through now, you've seen guys go through, especially at this age with not having the type of experience that a major leaguer needs. Kevin Pillar has talked about that. Like, dude, I've been on good teams, bad teams. I've sucked for a while. I've gone 0-for. I've been in ridiculous slumps. So he's now at a place where he understands how to overcome some of that stuff. Evan Carter's still just scratching the surface. For me, can he physically hold up to give himself the time that he needs to get the reps and get the confidence back up? I think this is all understandable, but the back injury is what's really scary.
Jonah Heim there with a warning track double that scores Adolis Garcia, and we're tied at one there in the second. The only way you're going to get confidence is by having success in the actual games. I mean, you can build confidence by working hard and believing I got a shot, but it's not really going to come and be solid until you go out there and have success in games. So you start to do that in the minors. Maybe you come back up to the big leagues. But I think, you know, Chief's exactly right. I think it's more injury-related rust, and that has led to lack of confidence because he hasn't been a successful player now for the last 16 or 17 months of his life.
Sure.
Last year, he was so hurt he couldn't play well. And now he's so dang rusty from missing all of last summer trying to get the back right that I think it's going to take a long time to get that timing and, get sharp enough to rise to the challenge of big league pitching again. But we know he can do it. And dang it, he did it for like 6 or 7 weeks.
Yeah.
It's not like he just did it for a couple of weeks. Josh Jung hurt neck, not playing today. Should be okay for opening day, though. Jungle Cat, don't want to see that guy go down. That's been a bad harbinger of things to come.
He's a key cog, man. He needs to stay healthy.
They are slow playing their hand as far as their opening rotation. Evaldi Thursday, Malley day three, I guess, and maybe DeGrom day four, but he could pitch Monday as well. We did get the news, though, that Leiter and Rocker are in for now. We just don't know exactly where. Adrian Hauser and Patrick Murphy were the other candidates for those jobs, but they want to go with the youngsters. I like it. Let's see what they can do. Kamar Rocker's last time out was pretty good.
It was, and I think it's going to be so. Evo, we know, is going to start Thursday. I think it'll be Leiter on Friday with an opener, is what I saw Jeff Wilson talking about. Then you've got Malley. DeGrom will be on the finale of the Red Sox, and then Rocker will probably open up the next series starting on Monday. So we'll see. Obviously, that could change. But as of right now, I think that's what Boach was talking about the plan is.
Well, is Hauser in the plans if Dane Dunning clears waivers? Is that what we're kind of hearing?
Yes. They want the 40-man spot for him,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Maybe him, maybe somebody else. Yeah. But a couple of different candidates there.
So not a candidate to be on the roster to start the year then, right?
Hauser? I don't think so. No, not with this news that they're going to have Rocker and Leiter in the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, not as a starter, but I mean, if he ends up, maybe they put him in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Maybe he replaces Dane Dunning in that long role.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, yeah.
Well, there was lots of glory to be had last night. Thank you for tuning in here on your home of the Rangers. What a leadoff dong from Semien. That was fun. Tavares solo shot. Berger homer took the lead in the fourth. They had three solo home runs and led 3-2, but then the Royals tied it up. Three-run blast from Jock Peterson in the seventh inning after the Royals had tied it again there, and they ultimately win 6-3. I was asking on social for the origins of his little step that he's doing around third base and then crossing at home. Is that an old Jock Peterson thing?
I saw that as well, and I saw you tweeting about it, but I wasn't sure exactly what the backstory was on that.
He's a unique individual. I'm sure he's got a story behind this.
I'm just hoping to see some sort of claw and antlers thing.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you can get a team doing some sort of a hand gesture or a bit simultaneously, I think it improves the good vibes on your team significantly. Okay. Juju Watkins went down for USC.
It's kind of a cheap play.
Yeah,
she got run into unnecessarily on that play, I think. You know, I mean, the way they tried to cut her off to go into the basket. And, you know, with her team being up as much as they were, that's just truly unfortunate right there to have that type of play end her season and, you know, maybe even really kill USC's chance to win this thing.
You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Without her, I mean, she's 25 points per game. She is kind of that USC program. I'm sure they have some pretty good other players, but she's tough, so probably going to be back before, you know, maybe new year next season. I believe that's going to be her junior year, but tough break from one of the biggest stars in college basketball, Juju Watkins.
Well, they just ran right into her. Yeah. I mean, it didn't look like they were going for the ball, just trying to keep her from going to the basket, you know, unfortunately. And, you know, the USC, rightfully USC's players had some, you know, in the handshake line afterwards. Yeah, they had some words with the Mississippi State players.
Yeah, defend your star.
I feel like she's playing defense, dude.
She just ran over the top of her. She wasn't even going for the basket.
She's cutting her off. She's not going to get her off a free layup in transition. I think Mississippi State's out here playing basketball like it should be played. It's unfortunate what happened, but I don't think it was.
You didn't feel like that she just could have not ran into her the way she did. I mean, it looked like she was trying to take her out.
I couldn't disagree more.
Okay.
I mean, she could have been a little bit more careful, but I think she was coming in there trying to make a physical play on the ball and maybe get in with her near hand for a steal. And you just kind of had that unfortunate deal where, you know, Kyrie Irving tore his ACL. You're approaching the basket. You're trying to gauge, am I going up for the shot? Am I passing? And then all of a sudden a little bit of pressure put on you that you were not expecting, and it's ugly. You hate to see it either way. Unlucky. Okay, Paige Becker's got 34 last night for UConn, beat South Dakota State handily, projected top pick by the Dallas Wings. You might want to tune in and just see what you're getting. Pretty good star power factor coming to the Metroplex there for the WNBA team soon. A lot of stars in play for the hockey team last night. 3-0 against Minnesota. Shut out for Ottinger on 32 saves for your guy, Wolchuk. I know you were happy about that.
He was brilliant, and he had to be. And the Stars' power play was also incredible last night. The penalty kill, 4-for-4 on the kill. But Otter, I think he had 11 saves in the third period alone. I mean, it was the 12th shutout he's had overall. And as we mentioned in Crosstalk, shout out to Jim Neal, 500 career wins now as GM of the Stars. But Otter, that's what we want to see heading into the postseason. That's the dude that you can go on a cup finals run with.
We can't get out of the puck's way, though, with our own faces.
Yeah, that was also the bounce on Rantanen, man. It's bizarre. Like, Pete DeBoer post-game comments were also like, dude, what is going on? We're just so unlucky with this right now. He's never seen anything like it.
Six of them.
Team full of puck faces.
Yeah, dude. I don't know what you do about that. I guess hockey players just chalk it up to bad luck and soldier on. But I'd definitely be looking for some sort of maybe a women's softball mask. You know how to do that?
Everybody just masks up.
Maybe go back to like the college hockey days and everybody just go full cage. You know, that's what those dudes do.
I mean, they'd probably laugh you right out of the locker room.
Yeah, probably.
But that's just the toxic nature of sports there.
Some guys just don't like it. Messes up the vision.
I can see that. So you don't do it, right? But now you're laughing at me for being safe.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to take care of myself here. Might catch one to the jugular some point.
I'd worry more about a skate to the jugular than a puck.
No doubt.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Wyatt Johnson and Matt Duchene got the party started second period. Rupe Hintz assisted on both those, so it's great to have him back. The defense has been pretty dang good lately, limiting the goals, and they'll visit Edmonton tomorrow. Mavs in action tonight against New York. Big Sports Tuesday coming up for you. Chuck Wagon is next. Zachary, where are you taking us?
Side jobs, mock drafts, and cocaine melons. That's next.
Welcome back, Nation. Rangers and Royals tied at 1 in the bottom of the third inning. Simeon just flat out, but he hit it well. 98-mile-an-hour exit velo. He's seeing it well. Bang, bang, up to bat right now. Wyatt Langford has opening day on Thursday here on your home of the Rangers. Pregame at 2:30. First pitch just after 3 o'clock. It's time for a Chuck Wagon. As Langford singles to right field. Here's Zach.
Well, it looks like Rhett Lashley has announced that SMU's not holding a spring game. They're going to hold an open night scrimmage on April 25th. So I guess they're still scrimmaging, so they're still going to do something, but it's not going to be your traditional spring game as SMU is the latest team to join that. And I just saw that, the Hawk Tua girl, Haley Welch, in a documentary made about her. She's been in hiding, I guess. I mean, we haven't really seen much about her ever since that crypto debacle where she reached a market cap of nearly $500 million, then it plummets 90% within just a few hours, then all of a sudden she's gone into hiding. But according to Deadline, this documentary is being produced by Bungalow Media and Entertainment. You ever heard of Bungalow?
I thought you were going somewhere else, but then you, the Ungolo part you added. So
yeah, I don't know. I mean, this could just be, I've never heard of Bungalow Media, but she said, I hope
it sounds it sounds like a famous place. I need to look this
up. It's probably legit, yeah. And I'm sure it's well known, and I'm just very uneducated on the media companies. But she put out an Instagram post that said, I hope y'all have been enjoying the crazy stories about my life unfold on social media. First, I was dead, then pregnant. Now I'm wanted by Interpol and in jail. Luckily, we've been working with Bungalow to start spilling the tea, and the truth is actually even more bizarre than you think, said Haley. What?
So this isn't a documentary. This is her making her spin. Right?
Yeah, she's just trying to do something one-sided. To like get back out there for her. She was crushing it. She's got the podcast. Everything's going great. Then all of a sudden there's this crypto thing and she totally fell apart. And we haven't seen her. So now is like the comeback. This is the re-release. Rebranding.
I would say you one just disappear. There's a lot of rug pulls in crypto every day and you might just be able to get away if you can get people to forget about you.
Yeah, just stay quiet.
Yeah,
that's coming from a veteran in the game.
Go to a desert island. I mean, you're done.
We've all been rug pulled before, right?
I have several times.
Couple times.
Yes.
My gosh. Yeah.
I can't. I mean, I guess, is there going to be a market for this? Do people care enough to sit down and watch this?
I don't. But I'm sure people must. Or else they wouldn't be putting money to do this.
She got her 15 minutes of fame because people were interested in her stupidity.
Yeah, like people 25 and under right now, I probably think it's hilarious.
They're probably very intrigued about what happened. I mean,
got nothing.
People clearly wanted to hear and listen to what she had to say. Her podcast shot up to number one immediately as soon as she did it. So
talk to her.
Industry people were interested. Yeah, maybe
boosting her in the numbies.
Her and Bobby, whatever the other one is.
Altoff.
Yeah. Weird stuff there. Bad news, Jordan Montgomery, Tommy John. That stinks.
Monty.
Lefty got us. Man, Monty, he's going to be Dunsky. So we can't, that dream of maybe trading for him if you're having issues, not going to be able to go get our guy Jordan Montgomery anymore.
Well, at least they didn't trade for him. Silver lining,
you're right.
Could you imagine trade for him last week?
I could have with the luck of the Rangers when it comes to, I could totally have seen something like that happening. And then we're looking at each other like, wait a second, what?
Ray would say, never again.
Tommy John, what the hell? Yeah, never again. Anyway, I guess for that owner in Arizona to have him not pitching for their baseball team, he's probably doing backflips today. So we've had a lot of stuff trying to get smuggled with drugs in them. The latest is limes. We had a bunch of limes that were confiscated in Texas and were seized that had over $2.4 million of methamphetamine that were hidden in the shipments of these big Persian limes. So 960 packages of alleged methamphetamine weighing just under 269 pounds were seized. But I do love the creativity here.
What'd they do?
Putting all the cocaine in the limes?
Did they cut open the limes and then pack it in there with the meth?
They
and then
found
seal
them
it
all.
Back up?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened here. And it is pretty amazing, like the creativity to be able to find a way to stuff and then reseal all of these fruits. You know, I would think that there's no way that you're going to be able to do this. But these drug dealers, man, they're trying to find all kinds of loopholes and ways to work around this. I think, it's terrible, but brilliant.
There's money to be made. I mean, they're on meth. There's the internet. You can't even imagine the kind of wormholes you would go down.
Almost $3.7 million worth of cocaine. The tractor trailer and the driver were all turned over to the Roma Police Department, who initiated a criminal investigation. Mm-hmm. Now, the next level thing would be you break into the Roma Police Department.
There you go.
Now you find a way to take it all back.
Oh, get the evidence before the rats do.
Yeah. What does the Roma Police Department do with this? Yeah, because you don't want the cocaine rats. You just burn this?
Keep it for evidence
for like a long time.
Just have $3.7 million worth of cocaine. Like, you know, I would think that if people know about this, clearly they do. Like, this is a public story.
You might use it for stings or undercover
like
operations.
Stuff. That's smart.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You need a lime?
I saw something the other day where, because it reminded me of what happened in my truck, you know, when they took the engine out of it and they stole it.
Yeah.
I saw this deal the other day that now they're having a problem down in Houston that people are, their cars are being stolen and then they're going to these chop shops. And the parts are being sold, and the people who are stealing them are buying, like, the police department comes and picks up the gutted cars. Okay. And they sell the gutted cars or take them to an auction. And the people who are stealing the cars are going back and buying the cars and, you know, keeping the parts and then putting the cars back together. And the car has a clean title to it. It's not listed as a stolen car anymore.
Genius.
Damn. Wow. Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah.
That is
nuts. So you take all the parts off it, leave the car body.
Yeah.
Then buy the car body back for a lot less, but the car's completely clean.
High IQ thievery.
Yeah. Man.
Look at that.
Those are the guys you got to be worried about, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where they have the ingenuity factor.
Dude, that's unbelievable.
Was that a DeGrom dong that just got sent?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Son of a gun.
It's all right. No need to hear about this negative stuff. We should pretend that didn't happen.
It's just 3-1 right now.
No big deal.
Not winning.
He's just working some things out. Yeah. You know,
still spring training for
everyone.
Not
a biggie. Get the home run ball out now. Right, that's what we're looking for. James Colsey, he's that football coach at Florida A&M. He took over for Willie Simmons after he left to be the running backs coach for Manny Diaz and Duke. Went 7-5 his first season. Made $250K in the process. But apparently $250K in Florida doesn't get you as far as it used to. So he is moonlighting with a side job. He's 50 years old. So this guy, who is a head football coach in college football, is also a home plate umpire for a top 25 NCAA Division I softball game. He was just doing it for Auburn and Mississippi State that was aired on ESPN, and they featured him. So not only is he a head football coach in college, he's also side hustling as a home plate umpire in college baseball. That's unbelievable.
That's all time busy right there.
That's crazy.
Because if you're doing the recruiting, like being a head football coach in college football is like extremely taxing in terms of how much time you have to spend.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
Getting the umping in. That guy, that's a hungry dog.
That's
right there.
Unreal, right?
I love
there.
That.
And I feel for him, because now, after we played that audio last week of that poor guy getting hit in the gonads, you better be careful back there at home plate, bro. He better be wearing a cup.
I would definitely do that.
You better be protecting those family jewels.
I'd always want one of those big pads you held like a shield. Remember those, like back in the day, in Little League and stuff?
Yeah.
You know, I as a big leaguer, I want to go out there prepared.
Yeah.
You know.
Anything I can wear.
Well, thank you. Well, Chuck Wagon here with you in the G-Bag Nation. Time now for the G-Bag of the Day. Here's Ross Lubinsky.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Well, just as you said, it's time for G-Bag of the Day, so let's cue the music. G-Bag of the Day time, everyone. You know what that means, all the Tolos out there. We do it every day here on the G-Bag Nation at 2:30, where we always play the best of the clips, whether it's the best of the day, best of the weekend, doesn't matter. If you like it, send it our way, and assuming it's clear to air over the radio, we'll play it. But as always, for G-Bag of the Day, we start with our winner from yesterday, which has the G-Bag Nation guys getting a little distracted.
And his sleep schedule has to be out of whack. He's on roofs by day. He's at the mic by night. He's flying home, probably getting a second helping at McDonald's after the initial 6 o'clock run through the drive-through,
crushing it,
and still, you know, looking respectable.
Yeah.
How about this guy?
It all goes to his head.
It does. Yeah. How about this gal at Iowa State, though? How many McDonald's meals a day you think she's
getting? Hey, man, chew that roll
off! Damn! No.
I saw Kendrick Perkins playing earlier. Was that somebody else?
No, she's a good player.
She was just on Lucius's screen over here. They're covering her in the pregame.
They had to go with a wide shot.
No, they covered her.
There are some big girls out here that got skills and fancy feet. Her and the gal at Washington. Bro.
Nice save. Nice save, Gavin.
Close it with the compliments, man.
Yeah. Good dancing spin bear. Good spin moves. Great balance.
We love the big man player, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, the hefty man.
Yep.
We appreciate the hefty female just as much, mm-hmm, getting it done as a great athlete.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what, playing basketball growing up, one of the worst things you could see was the big man who just commanded a radius around him. You couldn't get the ball. I mean, he's holding it. You can't reach it, right? His gut is just like, nope.
Yep.
Right? And then he spins on you and hits a little fadeaway without ever jumping, right? Yeah. He's getting rebounds. He's like, now mind you, he's 5'11", okay?
Right.
Just killing it in the post.
Just sweating all over you.
Yep. That's the equivalent at Iowa State right now, Ross.
Big man with touch is a scary man to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I don't doubt it. So are y'all big TikTok users, perchance?
Yes.
Broadus is, for sure.
I'll dabble in the TikToks.
Mm-hmm. So, Broadus, have you been seeing this recent trend going around where apparently all of these folks have Italian dads, and they are just lighting them up, pranking them by being, like, basically just constantly going, like, nuh-uh. Well, this is a full trend right now, and my goodness, this one son got his dad a little peeved.
Dude, last night I told you I needed to go to Home Depot to get me 20 bags of salt. I told you last night, you said okay.
No, you didn't.
I told you last night I need 20 bags of salt.
20 bags is crazy.
Why is that crazy? I do it all the time. I asked you. I told you last night. You said okay, remind me in the morning. Well, here we are, and you get... What do you mean, What is that bull? What are you talking about? You drive me crazy every day with you. Stop saying Go get the salt.
Why can't you grab it?
Because I gotta go to work. You got nothing to do.
He goes,
Bull! I don't do nothing. You do nothing. All you do is sleep and eat.
That's a good bit. I understand why that's going viral.
That's a very good bit. Yep, parents offsides for sure.
Very well executed. Yep. Expert trolling.
And the voice of a kid who's never been hit, I think. How could you be that confident?
For sure.
Woo.
That dad sounds, he has the voice of a dad who's definitely hit his son before.
Yeah.
But I mean, for whatever reason, his son has no fear.
I got PTSD just listening to that.
Yeah.
I was like, no, when's the smack coming? That's when you need one of your siblings to run around and be like, no, listen, it's cool. Stop talking.
Yeah, it's enough.
Yeah.
It's over.
All right. So a very recent one, in fact, just from y'all's show yesterday, had to include this because when y'all had our own Jared Sandler on, y'all were talking about the large-sized burrito they now sell at the ballpark. And that led to a pretty interesting conversation.
Boomstick burrito looks pretty impressive, though. I'd like to take that down. I think we're going to get a chance on Thursday, opening day, to take that down. So I don't know. I mean, how many inches do you think you could take of that, Chief?
Well, I mean, I did in 3 hours' time, I did the 2 foot boomstick burger. I guess it was a couple of years ago now. So if you give me two or 3 hours, I think I could put the whole thing down. But in one sitting, I feel good about the first 12 inches.
Who do you think can take down the most inches of the station?
I mean, I don't want to be braggadocious or whatever, but I think I'm leading the charge on that. I'm certainly the favorite.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Walsh could be up there.
That's a 3.5 pound thing, right, Jared? Is that what we're looking at?
It is 3.5 pounds.
Yeah, I was told 3.5 pounds. How bizarre is that? My
crazy.
Goodness.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. I would do that like a breakfast burrito. That would be really appealing to me. You give me 24 inches of bacon, sausage, egg, cheese, hash brown, maybe throw a little salsa on there, I would take that bad boy down.
How many do you think can take the most inches at the station? I don't want to be braggadocious, but I think I could take at least 12 inches.
I gave you some credit as well. Yeah, I feel like you could hold your own.
Jared's line, that sounds about right. Also, sending it to higher levels.
Oh, no.
This is a champ and two very good challengers, Ross.
Geez. Yeah.
Are you ready for us to vote?
Yeah, let's do it. Because the last one I have is like a minute and a half. We'll push it to tomorrow.
Perfect.
Push it to the limit, Ross.
I'm going to go with the boomstickerito bit there with Sans and Chief.
I'm going with the TikTok dad.
Italian dad. Lubinsky.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the boomstick as well.
We'll check.
Give me 12 inches.
Brian, we have a tie. Are you prepared to break it?
Go ahead. Do you want to vote for me?
No.
Boomstick.
Boomstick. By a score of 3-2 and your new G-Bag of the Day champion. Congratulations to Jared Sandler, who's going to join us coming up in 2 hours, by the way. The 440 seg will recap today's game and all the big Rangers news items. If you missed it, Josh Jung is dealing with a neck today, so he did not play. Chief, what are we doing next?
What's trending on a Tuesday? We have your sports quote of the day. We have a weird finger injury in the world of baseball and a Steph Curry ball sacking next year in the nation.
Thank you very much, Ross Lubinsky in for Lucius. Jonah Heim up to bat. Rangers trailing 3-1, bottom of four. DeGrom got hit around just a little bit there. So they're in a hole, but they do have runners on first and second. Kevin Pillar with a double. Here's the Chief with some sports fun.
Pillar's been getting on base, man, versus a lefty. That's encouraging. Now, yesterday, Walchuk, I mentioned to the fellas that on Saturday at Zero's wedding, we had the seating arrangements allowed for there to be a Walchuk sandwich with Babe Loffenberg and Brad Sham as the buns.
Right.
Told them you had a spectacular time, and they were pretty impressed with the seating arrangements. I told them we were dead balls last in the buffet line,
sure,
but it worked out when we wanted to double up on the food.
That did work out. Yeah, you did mention, like, hey, give me double of everything.
Yeah. So
I went back, I think, for seconds.
But I feel like that was probably the coolest part of your weekend, right?
It was great.
Just as we look back, and you're fighting through allergies right now, obviously.
It was a highlight, yeah. I mean, I also slept on the couch last night because wifey's sick, so she doesn't want to be anywhere near me right now, which is okay. I'm cool with that, but it wasn't the best night's sleep.
Yeah. Oh, no, the couch.
How the first
you.
Day of
you dropped her
go.
Off at daycare.
Yeah,
daycare.
I dropped Eliza off at daycare today. I'll find out probably in about an hour or so.
Mm.
So far, I haven't gotten any negative updates, so I think she's been pretty good.
There we go.
That's the Eliza.
So
we
far,
know and
so
love.
Good. I mean, she was already looked like happy as a clam when I left her. So we'll see.
She's battle tested, dude.
She's a badass, man. I mean, she's really been a pretty easy baby, minus the whole coming 2 months early there.
Obviously,
that was a bit of a scare.
Yeah,
but otherwise, ever since we've got her home, she's been fantastic.
She's a warrior in every way. So is our guy Amir Khan, aka Aura, the student manager for McNeese State basketball.
And we Sammy had a small run.
We didn't give him the tip of the cap yesterday that he probably deserved. I just want to show some love to him as his legendary run comes to an end. This is the first of its kind when you have a student manager not playing a single second, but help lead his program to their first ever tournament win. Absolute viral sensation. I saw him hanging out with Spike Lee. He's got like six figures in sponsorship money. It ended up being like double-digit NIL deals. He's got the cheerleaders wearing his face on their socks, on his face on their shirts. Like, he is certified. He's got like his own clothing line. He's got Aura on the back of his clothes now because that's
capitalize,
what he's referred
bro.
To as. Like,
capitalize.
This guy's an all-timer. I would like to think he's going to follow Will Wade to NC State.
That's what I was asking. Is he going to be part of the program going to
Wolfpack? This guy has a job forever. He's clearly a minister of culture. Will Wade will take Aura under his wing. And at some point, Aura is going to take Will Wade under his wing.
That's right. I just don't know who he's most connected to. Is it Will Wade or is it the university? Because I'd create a bidding war to keep that guy around. We're going to create a role for you if there's not a title you don't slide into. I'm firing people to keep this guy.
Yeah, your presence means something.
Vibes like that are valuable. You know, he's a showman. Part of the presentation increases fan engagement. We can't let this guy out the door.
Hey, name him marketing director there at McNeese, can't we?
There we go. Now we're talking.
Like, yeah.
You know, video coordinator.
Mayor of
I don't
Lake
care.
Charles. What do you want to
yeah. I don't care what his job title has to be, but he's not leaving.
Might be the next Eric Spoelstra. Video guy, marketing guy, video guy.
Ends up making it all the way up.
Coach of the Miami Heat.
It'd be like Nate from Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso, there you go.
Well, I hope he doesn't have a full heel turn.
No. Well, I mean, hey, he ends up going back and being the coach of his hometown team.
I didn't even realize that part. Yeah. I just remember him being kind of a nemesis bleep hole.
He was a nemesis bleep hole, and then it kind of got positive.
So
at the end.
Okay, I didn't finish through. I gave up on Ted Lasso at some point.
He circled back and was a good guy.
We have what are you guys most? What's most synonymous to you when I just say the words Doc Rivers?
3-1.
Bad voice.
His voice. Yeah, voice. Yeah. 3-1. Okay, those are all. Everybody's getting points here. For the record, Walchuk just so happened to get the answer 100% correct. The 3-1
basketball guy of the day.
That is
right
that
here.
Is Doc Rivers.
Screw you, Brian.
He's the rare champion who's more synonymous with losing than being a champion.
Oh, he's yeah. Okay.
And
he did get that one championship.
He did. He got that one. Thanks
and
to
all of those Celtics players will let you know about it.
That's true. That's
true. Kendrick Perkins made a living off it.
Well, Doc Rivers is quoted in Mark J. Spears' recent article. And they reference the 3-1 stuff and how it smeared his legacy. This is your sports quote of the day. Doc Rivers saying, "No one tells a real story. I'm fine with that. It's unfair in some ways. I don't get enough credit for getting the 3 wins. I get credit for losing. I always say, what if we had lost to Houston in 6 instead of 7? No one cares. One of the things that I'm proud of is we've never been swept. All the coaches have been swept in the playoffs. My teams achieve."
glass half full.
You can't say that out loud. You got to keep that. You can't. You he can't says,
I don't,
say that.
I don't get enough credit for the three wins in the series where I end up blowing a 3-1 lead. That is where Doc Rivers is at this stage.
You don't go back and look at like, oh, how
I'm
you
impressed,
just remember
dude.
Who won.
Nice work, Doc. That's how you get your. That's going to be the Hawk Tua documentary that you were talking about earlier. It's going to be quotes like that about how she deserves credit for even trying to start, a local business or whatever the hell. And then, yes, of course, everybody got frauded. But what about the good parts? I can't believe he said that. That's hilarious, Doc Rivers.
Dude, you can't say that.
There's nothing worse than a biased autobiography framed as a documentary.
Right.
And I'm staring right at you, Last Dance.
Oh,
shots fired. Don't you come after the goat like that. Don't you come after the goat like that. What about the middle finger injury in baseball? What are you and about?
Boeheim just got run on.
Rocker gave up a single.
Rocker's on the bump.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a good pitch and a decent throw, but just it was a little late. You know? Good running success there. I don't think he'd have had him even if Simi had made the play.
Phillies pitcher Matt Strom. He was a late scratch to one of their recent games, and it was a middle finger injury. And they were like, what's going on here?
He's on the turnpike. He gave it to somebody.
The update is that he was packing his daughter's toys in a box and jammed the cardboard between his nail and finger.
Ooh, I believe it.
He's apparently had a couple of packing injuries this spring, and now he's ready to just really hunker down into whatever new place they're moving into because this dude has hazards packing. He's alleging that he's lashing out at the toys of his own daughter for getting under his fingernails in a way that prevented him from pitching and doing his job.
It is frustrating. You get some of these toys, and they are like strapped in there 15 different ways. You know, you got to peel back one layer of cardboard, screw them off in the back, and untie things.
Yeah,
and
that zip tie thing that's bolted down. What's up with that now?
See? The zip tie stuff is extremely annoying.
I've had to get a screwdriver out.
Really?
The zip tie thing and the hard plastic casing over.
Yeah, the hard. Yeah,
what's up with that?
Rip it and then crap goes everywhere.
What are we doing on that? What are we trying to protect?
It's frustrating.
Must be shoplifter prevention. You know, they don't want you to
open
like
them in the store and just pocket them.
Looks like they just kind of let you walk out of the store with stuff nowadays, right? You load up your cart and just, hey.
That has happened.
See ya.
Hey, we all deserve a pat on the back, though, for not running with the very believable video of Steph Curry doing the full court from the tunnel, one-handed launch as a swish into the opposite goal, like 100 feet or whatever it is.
Oh, that didn't happen?
See, and we didn't talk about it because I think it happened like on Friday or something. It was late last week, and because you see those old videos. It was like, I think LeBron had some commercials or something where it's like full court. They look like they're barely shooting.
That's McDonald's,
and
him and Larry Bird. That was him and Magic Johnson, right?
It didn't pass the sniff test for me.
Or you guys,
off. Clearly.
Yeah.
Now we have the alternate angle, and it's been proven that Steph Curry, in fact, missed the viral 100-foot shot with one arm from the tunnel the other day.
It was too good to
now,
be true.
Now, it was really, and it's not to say that it wasn't impressive because it was, and it is, because it was right there, but it didn't actually get in the hoop for the swish. It just grazed the net coming down, so it didn't actually make it in. And the alternate angle, you can now see that. But it's amazing how they, like, why didn't the alternate angle come out the same day as the initial one?
I don't know.
They wanted to build this ball sack up to trap us, guys like us.
Got him.
Run with it.
Yep.
But we stayed true to ourselves.
Luckily, our spidey senses were firing hard on that one. Just didn't seem right for the audience, you know? We want you guys to know you can trust us.
That's right.
Like the video, please.
Not even
subscribe.
That good.
You guys deserve better. And then how about this for a Tuesday headline? California surfer hospitalized after being stalked by demonic sea lion, likely poisoned by toxic algae. This is an Oxnard, bro.
Okay.
This is a California surfer enjoying himself on the water.
Oxnard.
All of a sudden, there is what feels like a rabid sea lion that's trying to attack him. And these are usually, like, these guys are usually fun, right?
Yeah.
In general,
got to get nasty. Yeah,
pretty playful.
The sea whales.
Well, apparently now
at Sea World.
Got a rabid one. So this sea lion bit this dude right there on the butt cheek, and this dude had to go to the hospital and everything. Like it ended up
rabies.
Being, yeah, I don't know. They're assuming or they're thinking that it's toxicity in the algae is making these animals really aggressive. So you're getting a sea lion that now is roid raged up. And he's no longer the fun sea lion floating around on a surfing Saturday. Yeah. He's now attacking you and biting your butt cheek.
Wow, that might be a game ender if you're out there surfing. Seals gonna come after you.
You can't trust any of these animals.
Right, huh?
How crazy is that, though? Toxic algae making friendly animals rabid.
Might have to go surfing with your Glock. You know,
yeah.
Find a nice little waterproof holster.
We need a word with Aquaman.
Well,
I don't think Broadus is going to be able to do his traditional Oxnard skinny dipping.
Mm.
That's tough, Brian.
In the Pacific.
Survive.
I ain't going to get bit by a sea lion.
I know you and Jason Garrett used to love going out there together. Yeah. You confided me one time.
Yeah. A couple of dudes being bros.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Coming up next, NFL News of the Daytime. Well, Chuck, where are you taking us?
Yeah, we got early retirement talk, Cocky Cam and Brady opening up about divorce. What's next?